Good morning. I'm excited to, as I have mentioned before, I can't wait to get up here. It's like all these thoughts running through my mind of the things I want to say. I appreciate Ross's songs. We've changed roles this morning. Usually I'm leading singing and he's preaching. And so and though we may give you a hard time with the English language, I'd be the same way in Alabama or Arkansas. But we're just trying to make you sound more like an Idahoan. But we're certainly glad to be here this morning. Those of you on a budget might recognize that there's five Sundays this month, and so that means we've decided that some of the men in the congregation can bring a lesson on the fifth Sunday of the month, and that's today, so that Ross can hear us preach. He's never heard me preach, and so that's what we're doing here this morning. If you were to ask me when I was 17 or 18 that I'd get up and bring a lesson, I would just laugh at you and say, no way. In the last, I don't know, probably 5 years or so, we've been without a preacher at times, and so the men here would trade Sundays, and it's very good because it's good to get out of your comfort zone and bring a lesson from God's Word. And before long, it's not that hard. So this morning, I'm going to bring a lesson about stewards. And if you want to grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24, we're going to be reading there. I've printed out all my verses, so I don't have to look through. I look them up and save a little time because I have, I probably shouldn't tell you, 6 pages of verses. Double-spaced. So we're going to read from Matthew 24. So we'll go ahead and read that and then kind of get into our discussion here. Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 25, says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him into two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so we're a steward. What is a steward? We don't really use steward in our language too much today. So a steward primarily denotes the manager of a household or a state, entrusted with goods and affairs of another. Those of you, I was involved in the union a little bit, they always appoint a steward that works along with the employees. And he's the spokesman. So if you have something wrong, you can tell him, then he'll take it on up the ladder. He's a steward. He's in charge of your concerns, okay? Entrusted with goods and affairs of another, or affairs or issues or anything that we might have. He oversees and administrates the affairs of his master for the master's benefit. He might take care of a lot of things so the master doesn't have to, but his priority is for his master. He answers to his master, answers to him. You might call the master the boss. You know, he's the boss. He's got a boss that he's watching out for. So let's look at Romans chapter 14. We're going to read verse 4 and 12. So Romans chapter 14, verse 4 and 12. "Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." And verse 12, "So then each of us shall give account for himself to God." Okay? So he's accountable. A steward is accountable to the master. And he's been put in charge. his steward's work either honors or dishonors his master. Genesis 9. I'm gonna go ahead and read this verses 2-9 because this kind of helps kind of understand what we're talking about this morning. Genesis 39. We're gonna start in verse 2 there and read through verse. Well, I'm actually only gonna read through verse 6. Okay, through verse 6. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Of course, we all remember the story of Joseph, and we're going to get into that in our class. But it says, and continue on verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. Let's stop just real quick. Can you imagine? That'd kind of go to your head, wouldn't it? All that he had went to him. Remember the master that we read about in Matthew? It kind of went to his head, didn't it? But Joseph, not so much. And of course, we all know the story, but continue on verse 5. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the fields. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had expected, what he had, except for the bread which he ate. So here's the master. He doesn't even know what's going on. He's completely entrusted everything into Joseph's hands, and all he cares is he's got food on the table. He doesn't even care what's going on. And of course, continuing on there, now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. And of course, he gets tested here, and we're not going to read it for sake of time, but you can see Joseph was a good steward for his master. And we must see ourselves as stewards of God, okay, who has appointed us over his goods, both on earth, but also spiritual blessings in Christ. We're stewards, all of us. We're stewards of God, just like Joseph was to his master, and the master or the servant that we read about in Matthew. And we're going to be referring to our text of the lesson as we go along here. So the master's appointment. Let's look at, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're gonna read 14 and 15 there. Every Christian is a steward in God's house. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Okay, see? He had to appoint. He was going on a journey, so he appointed stewards of his goods. He appointed the stewards. Every Christian is a steward in God's house. We have an appointment from the Lord to be a steward. We have an appointment. Romans 12. Let's go ahead and read Romans 12, 3-8. For I say through the grace driven to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as a good, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or minister, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberty. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we have an appointment. Do we all have the same talents? And we talked about that this morning. And we're different. Having 4 kids, each kid is different. They have a different personality, different talents, different strengths, different weaknesses. And the same in the church, but we're still all stewards to the Lord. We have an example of elders. Titus 1:7 says, "For bishops must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money." So elders, good stewards of God. Preachers, 1 Corinthians 9:16 and 17. "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." As we preach the gospel, we're entrusted with a stewardship to relay God's wishes for us, our Master, Jesus, to preach. Saints have a stewardship too. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So we all have been given a task to be a steward to God. And he's appointed it to us. He's wrote it down for us. There's some crucial elements of stewardship of God's blessings. And as we read, in Matthew 24, there's crucial elements of stewardship. Can we just, you hear people who become the boss or whatever, and they're a total different person, or they get put in charge and they change. They're in charge. I joke around about some people that I work with. The first thing we need to know is I'm in charge here. That's the most important thing, right? We all know people like that. And that's what happened to this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 50. Says, in verse 49, "And he began to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards." You know, he had her made, right? He had her made. He's the number two in charge, right? "The master of that servant will come on that day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of." And so we have to be aware. There's some crucial elements here. We are under Christ's authority. Matthew 28, 18. We're on page 3 of our verses. Matthew 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All right? So Jesus, all authority has been given. We're under Christ's authority. We're given work to do, right? We've got a task. We've got a challenge ahead. In Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we're given work to do. We've got tasks to do. We're expected to use what we have been given to bless the master, what we've been given, just like the talents. Some got 5, some got 2, some got 1. We're expected to use what we have. Matthew 25, 15 and 17 says, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them with him, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also." Of course, we know the story continues on. The one who had 1 talent, he just hid it away. And that's not what we're to do. We're to use those talents that he has given us. We're expected to use what he's given us. And it's to bless the master. It's not to be wasteful with it. Talents are usually seen as opportunities to enhance or bless ourselves. And we can use sometimes it brings fame, money, and power, which is, no bad in that, right? we can come up with tons of examples of how that has ruined people. Fame, money, and power. But our talents have been given to us by God. And it can bless us, but it can also bring us down. Christians can use talents given by the Lord for the Lord. Okay, Galatians. I want to look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We can use our talents. They've been given to us by the Lord. And we can bless God with them. We must honor God who has blessed us with his goods by being thankful for and faithful with his blessings. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Can we prepare ourselves for every good work? We can fine-tune tools and things to make our work easier, and we can certainly prepare ourselves and use our gifts to be thankful, faithful servants of God. We also have been appointed by failing to be. We can also fail to be thankful. And if we do, we will take our blessings for granted. Have you ever seen someone who was so talented and just threw it away? Or did something bad and got thrown in jail or something, or ruined their reputation? So we have to be careful that we don't take those talents and use them for bad. We can take them for granted. We can fail to use them to their full extent. I remember hearing, that guy's so talented, I don't know why he don't do better with his talents. It's so easy for him. In the welding trade, sometimes, and they just throw their talents out the window and don't even use them. If we believe we are the one responsible for our advantages, progresses, and blessings, we begin to forget God. Or maybe we have talents and we figure that we just got them because of what we did. We're good at this because of something we did, and we forget to bless God for our talents. Let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, 48 through 51. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat, of course we already read this, I'm going to read it again, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at the hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we can't forget that there's still a master out there. He's coming back. We can't forget that. God has enriched us for all liberality, causing thanksgiving. Okay, let's look at, so we can be thankful for our gifts that God has given us. He's enriched us. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, we're going to read 6 through 11. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he prospers in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Who gives us the seed? In verse 10, he who supplies the seed to the sower, who supplies the seed? God. God gives us the seed. He's enriched us, and it causes us to be thankful. We must be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 2, says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. What if the steward's not faithful to the master? He probably don't have the best interests in for his master. And we must be faithful to God. Now, here's the big one. Stewards of our time. Are we good stewards of our time? I've said before, I didn't think about this, but there's 24 hours in a day. I'm trying to think. There's about 9 or 10 hours, if you're not at an 8-hour job, in a day that you have to do whatever you want. There's before work, after work, and sleeping. We have tons of time. How do you manage your time? And we're always saying, oh man, I haven't had time to get to that. We all want more time, right? We want more time. But yet we often waste what we have. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. We're going to read 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. And I want to say, right, she's almost chastising Jesus. My sister needs to be helping me. I got work to do here. And we'd probably all be in the same. It's like, you want me to prepare this whole meal myself? But her sister recognized what was important. And it's spiritual things that was important. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things that don't matter, right? I mean, they matter, but there's important, you know, we got to set our priorities straight. We got to manage our time. And of course, you know, that's a struggle that we all have, myself included. We all want more time to do our work, meet our obligations, achieve our goals, etc. Time management is important to accomplish the Lord's work. I love David telling stories about Brother Rhodey there. I mean, he don't let a lot of time get away from him. And he's out there, you know, what you say, you only got about, go to bed at 11 o'clock at night, and he was still up. And you get up at 6 in the morning, he's up already. We can use those folks as good examples. We all know, I have coworkers that can get a lot done really quick, and I just wonder, how did they do that? So we all have different strengths in managing our time. And we're always wanting more time. Let's read John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And I remember when I was a kid, we'd be out irrigating, and the old big ball of sun is sinking, and I remember Pa getting mad at the sun, you know, it just keeps going down, and I think, well, you know, I mean, the night's coming. Can we do everything we can do in the daytime at night? Not usually, and you know, that's a struggle. That sun, I've never seen it stop, and wait on me. And so, you know, there's things that we have to get done, because the night is coming when no one can work. At the end of life, time is one thing everyone wants more of. You ever talk to someone, at the end of life, time is one thing that they want more of, or that they wish that they had done this or that. I want to look at Psalms 90. Psalms 90, we're going to read 10 through 12. Says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Number our days. Life isn't going to last forever. And so we need to number our days. Rejoice in the time you have and use it to honor God. Keep saying right there in Psalms. We're going to continue verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hearts for us. Yes, establish the work for our hands. Time management, you know, let me see if I got, yeah, one more. Use your opportunities now. And I was thinking, if you ever heard anyone say, that guy or that gal is going to be late to their funeral. You know, you've heard that saying before. We don't want to be that person. We want to manage our time and use our opportunities now. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's the whole goal, our time, to use our opportunities now. Don't let any water go under the bridge. The next one is our possessions. Stewards of our possessions. How we use our possessions shows whether we value our stewardship. Manage our money to live within our means. I talked about a budget earlier. I didn't know what a budget was until I got married. Then I realized I was broke. But manage our money. We have an obligation to manage our money. Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Pay our taxes. We all love doing that, right? Paying our taxes and help others. Romans 13:7, just one verse up there from Romans 8, or 13:8. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Pay our taxes to help others. I always want to allocate it. That money I'm giving you, I want you to fix that road over there. But we can't worry about that kind of stuff. We got to pay our taxes. Ephesians, did I look at 13? Oh, I didn't write Ephesians down. Ephesians 4:28 is another reference there to pay our taxes. Give as we have prospered. We just had our offering. Giving this morning, 1 Corinthians 16:2. says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Good stewards of our possessions compels us to give. Acts 20:35 says, I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we know what that feels like. Isn't it a great feeling to give gifts rather than receive? Sometimes I've been so excited to give something, I can't wait till the time, you know, birthday or Christmas or whatever. But our possession compels us to give. The measure we use will be used back to us. Luke 6:38 says, given it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Think of that. The measure we use will be used back to us. A measure of generosity. 2 Corinthians 9:6. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Measure of humble giving. Mark 12, we're going to read 41 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrant or quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow who has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. And we can see the difference there. She gave all that she had. A measure of humble giving. We shouldn't give grudgingly. We don't say, well, I guess I can, you know, spare a few bucks. But give humbly. And our measure of dutiful care to our family is also another measurement of our possessions. In 1 Timothy 5, we're going to read verses 4, 8, and 16. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are already widows. So we have a duty to take care of our family members, the widows, our parents, and we can all understand that. The last one, I try to hurry through these real quick. It's so hard to cram it in a half an hour, but stewards of our physical health. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our physical health, through it's temporary, it's a blessing from God. It's always nice to, you know, that's why we kind of enjoy athletes or young people and see how well they can jump off this or that. And we enjoy, as we get older, the physical health of our youngins, but also ourselves. Can we abuse it? We sure can. You know, we can abuse our health. And we're going to talk about a few things here. Something we often neglect until we no longer have it, right? Ross said he can't run a mile in 7 minutes. You didn't care about that when you could run it, but now it's gone until we no longer have it. We sometimes neglect our health. Our body is a temple. We need to use it to glorify God. He's given it. It's a temple to glorify God. We need to not defile it with immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." Do not defile it with destructive behavior, smoking, drugs, drug abuse, alcohol, etc. We can understand that. Use self-control. Self-control, Galatians 5:23 says, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. Self-control. And, of course, that's easy, right? No, we got to work at it. We got to respect our temple that God has given us in our physical health. Taking care of your health will likely give you more opportunities to serve the Lord. Think about that. More opportunities to serve the Lord. If we take care of ourselves. Strength for daily responsibilities. 1 Timothy 5:23 says, gentleness, let's see. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. We might need to take some medication, right? That's what he's talking about. Or pills, vitamins, things like that, to strengthen ourselves for our daily responsibilities. Strength to serve others. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And even without good health, you are a steward of the health you have. And if we can look at Peter here in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, we're going to read 9 and 10. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I was thinking of some of us, we work all our lives to retire, right? Can we retire from God's work? Can we retire from being a steward? You know, Paul and I were talking, Connie Adams. He talked to Connie Adams the other day, and he's getting up there in age, and he said, "I'd still like to come out and hold a gospel meeting for you guys." You know, and that would be a feat for him, I think, especially if he brings Bobby. But, you know, he's still ready to go, ready to be a good steward of God and teach God's word even to the end. Paul, he didn't decide to forget about his health. He decided to trust and serve the Lord even when he was weak. He would live for Christ. Philippians 1:21. And this is our last verse. Philippians 1:21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He didn't decide to forget. He didn't punch the clock and say, "I'm retired now. You deal with them youngins. Now I'm done. I've done. Look at all I've done." Did Paul say that? The Lord will return, and we will give account of how we used His goods and blessings, as our text that we started the lesson with said. Let's see if I can get through my pages here. Numbered the pages. That was important. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. Do we know when Jesus is coming? There's been people proclaimed to know, right? The end of the world's going to be March 26th. We know it's not that day whenever they do that. But we don't know. If we knew, we'd just put it off right to the last minute. We'd procrastinate, but we can't do that. The Lord will return and will give us account of how we used his goods and blessings. So we need to prepare by the wise use of our blessings, the wise use of our blessings. Be thankful and useful to the Master, so that we can be diligent and faithful stewards of God's blessings. I think this has been a great study for me, as the teacher always learns the most, and I really enjoy bringing a lesson, and we can all be better stewards, better. You know, we're essentially the boss, but we have one big boss, and we need to have his best interests in everything that we do in teaching the gospel. So that's the lesson this morning. I appreciate your attention. If there's anyone here this morning who is not a Christian, you need to become one and obey the gospel. We have this time set aside for those who want to become a Christian or need the prayers of the congregation, and you can come forward and make those needs known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.